Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back again. Pray for Pastor, who had a long drive from Sydney and a bit worn out. So you guys are stuck with me tonight. I apologize. But we're going to look in God's Word tonight, and hopefully I can be a blessing to you tonight. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Now, it's good to see the young adults back, and I heard there was a revival, and so we're expecting great things, and we've got a whole list of you all to do. And I've heard of great reports and even people making the headline news in Sydney. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? They're not here. It's not a headline. It's like the funny part of the news, right? Just anyway. But it's good, it's good. All right, we're in Mark chapter 1, and we'll just get on with some things here. And on Sunday night, I took advantage of the young adults not being here, so I preached against them. I wanted to just encourage those that were of the next generation. And I know we've come back, and we've got the young adults back, and we've had some almost back-to-back conferences, and what a high, a spiritual high it's been just to sit and listen to some men preach from the Word, and I know what it's like just going through conference, and a lot of us worked, a lot of us were in the background, but it's such a high just seeing other people and getting kind of catching up with some friends from other places. And it's always a great time when we can just meet up with other Christians from other churches, because it just kind of makes you feel like, you know, we're all in this together. And we do have a great mission that God's given to us and a great life. I love the Christian life. I don't know about you. We've got a hope in Jesus, but God's given us a great work. And I believe God's business is the greatest business in all the world, better than any business. And it's the most important business in all the world. But I want to preach a message entitled, We Can't Stop Now. We Can't Stop Now. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to read a few verses here. But before I read the verses here in chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 32. But as I've mentioned, we've had some great successes. And I believe our conference was a great success. And I believe TNS and the young adults was like 50-something that went down. I think you doubled last year's attendance. And it's not all about attendance, but the more people are going down, the more people are hearing God's word and being changed through that. But it's sort of that time where we felt like, you know, God clearly was at work. After the conference, you can hear the testimonies of people's lives that have been revived and changed, and hearing about the young adults and how they're perfect now. They're never going to sin anymore. And so they're all revived. And so, yeah, and it's a great thing. And we think, man, God clearly worked at that conference. People were encouraged. I don't know if anyone was saved, but perhaps there were people that were saved. Prayers were answered, hearts were full. And, you know, at the end of the day or end of the week, we kind of go to bed and think, wow, that's what it's all about. You know, all these huge conferences and all these big things. But after a big moment after that, like that, what do we do? What do we do after that? Do we ride the emotional wave and then come crashing down on a wave? Do we take a break? Okay. Do we experience a spiritual hangover? Oh man, I'm glad that's over. And we're just like, I don't want to do anything anymore. But here I want to show you how Jesus shows us what to do. And he tells us to keep going, to stay focused, and to seek after the Father. And we're going to begin with Mark chapter 1. Have I prayed yet? Haven't prayed yet, have I? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for the conference that we've had, and Lord, the True North Summit conference, Lord, down in Sydney, and just the great reports that we've heard. And we thank you, Lord, that you work even in our midst, and we, by your grace, Lord, you just continue to work in our in our lives, in our church's lives, and in the lives of our families, Lord. And you are so good to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just remind us again, Lord, tonight. It's nothing new. But I pray, Lord, that you would just help us just to continue on, Lord, with what you have us to do. Help us, Lord, not to live from one conference to the next or from one spiritual high to the next, but teach us, Lord, just to continue on with the work that you have us to do, Lord. Bless right now, Lord. Use me as a mouthpiece, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 32, if you're in your book, and we'll stay in this book, in this passage tonight. But in verse 32, it says here, "And at even," or evening, "when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city," get this, "all the city was gathered together at the door." Can you imagine if all of Albany Creek or all of Brisbane was at your door? And I don't know how many people was in this town, but you can imagine if everyone was at your door, that's a huge thing, right? Can you imagine if we just opened up and we know like Christmas Carol's coming up, right? Hate to remind you guys, all right? But it's coming up. Also our anniversary, forgot about that. But if you can imagine, we've opened up a huge event for the community and everyone turned up. Would you say that would be a successful day? Would you say that, hey, we've successfully invited and people have come to our event? I would say so. I would think, what are we going to do with all these people? It'd be almost like when they were feeding the 5,000. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed all these people, right? Does anyone have any fish or loaves or whatever? But that would be that sort of day where we would think, man, that was pretty successful. Moving on, verse 34. Look what they did. "And he healed many," talking about Jesus, "that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him." Okay, so the whole city came and many were healed. Many devils were cast out. I say that's a successful day. I think if we have, as in our church, we've seen many people saved, I would think, man, that's a great and glorious day. We had a great Sunday. And every at the beginning of the week, we kind of talk to each other as a staff and think and try to reflect on the weekend and see how the Lord worked on that weekend. And we think that was a successful day. That was a good day. The Lord showed up. Here, it was a powerful day of ministry. The city showed up. A huge crowd came because of Jesus' power. There was excitement. There were miracles. There were deliverance. There were revival in the streets. And if you can imagine the atmosphere of everything that's happened and a lot to take in, right? Just even seeing one soul saved, that's a great thing. That's a big thing. I know in heaven it is. I know all of heaven rejoices over one soul getting saved. And that's that. Brings a lot of excitement. There was a story of a pastor who once shared how after a powerful tent revival where dozens came to Christ, he expected the momentum to carry on for weeks. Instead, the next Sunday, attendance dropped. The mountaintop moment faded quickly. You know, spiritual highs don't guarantee the long-term results. These conferences don't guarantee that, hey, our church is... It was great. I love seeing this place packed. I love seeing everyone. I love hearing the rejoicing and the fellowship. I love hearing the singing, right? And then what? Sunday after, you know, when everyone's gone home and everything, there's that kind of a spiritual low, right? And we think, man, that's what are we gonna do now? You know? But those things don't guarantee long-term results. Okay? Faithfulness does. Faithfulness does. And we're going to see here what Jesus does after a powerful day in the ministry. Look at verse 35. Let's see what Jesus does, okay? So he's had the whole city come, a lot of people that were delivered from the bondage of the devil, and many were healed, okay? That's a big day. Let's see what he does next. Verse 35, it says there, "And in the morning," okay, this is the next day, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." I don't know about you, but after a big day, I feel like just snoozing for a week. And And I think I did that. But no, I feel like just doing nothing. I almost felt selfishly thinking, you know what? I'm good Bible-wise for the rest of the year. I think I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I've got enough messages just in this last week. Or I'm all prayed up from all those days that we prayed upcoming to the conference. I don't need to pray anymore. Or I don't need a fast. I don't need to do anything more for God because I've all done that. Okay, and there's a temptation to not do anything anymore after a big powerful day of ministry, but Jesus doesn't do that. The next morning, he goes out by himself and he does what? He prays. He prays. Jesus chose solitude over sleep. Even after exhaustion, Jesus prioritized prayer. Prayer was not a response to weakness, but a preparation for what's next. Commonly, we tend to naturally just want to do nothing anymore. I'm done. I've done it all in one whole week. I'm all done. And I must admit that sometimes in my life in ministry, we've had big days. I know Easter Sunday is a big day, at least in America, and I think it's kind of a big day here as well. I remember just packing out a bus. I mean, we illegally had so many kids on a bus. It was not funny. I think we had 100 on a 75-passenger bus and brought them to church, and we had our highest day ever in our church. We reached 1,000 people in church that Sunday. And we only averaged about 300-400, and to get 1,000, that was a huge day. And I remember that, and I felt like we did it. We did it. All the flyers that we put out, all the prayers that we prayed, all the fasting, all the hard work. And at the end of it, after that Easter Sunday, I thought, we did it. I did it. Okay? That was the wrong response. Instead, I should have been saying, you know what? God did it. God did it. And sometimes, and many times, I've done this. On big days, I think, man, all the work paid off. All the prayers, it was because of my prayers that we had a big day. It was because of my hard work that we had a big day. It was because of my organization that we had a big day. But it was not. It was because of God. And we've got to be careful that after a big day and after God working, that we don't forget God. Otherwise, we become like those lepers, right? Was it 10 or 11? 10, right? 10? Who says 10? All right, audience parts. 11? All right. Okay, it was 10. All right. Remember the 10 lepers, okay? One came back, right? One. Right, Caleb? All right, good. And he's my fact checker. One came back, but where were the 9? Okay? And sometimes we can do that as a church, that we have a big day, we see God work, he's healed us and he's done great many things, but we forget to go to him in prayer and thank him for what he's done. Folks, you may not feel like doing it, but God deserves the praise and glory and honor. I want to ask you, it's a rhetorical question, don't answer out loud, but did we pray and did we praise God and thank him for the great conference that we had? Young adults, you came back from TNS, and I'm sure if you've driven, you're tired. If you've flown, you're tired as well. But when you got back, did you pray and thank God for such a great conference? I want you to ask that for yourself. Corrie ten Boom once said, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it." After speaking to thousands about Christ, she would often retreat into silence, just her and the Lord, before even celebrating. You know what prayer does? It grounds you. Especially after success, it's easy to get proud and say, we did it, I did it. It's easy to get complacent and say, man, I'm just done. Or sometimes we get distracted, but prayer brings clarity with what's just happened and also humility. You know, the next time we might have a success through God, and if we take the glory and say, well, it was all us, I don't know if God can bless the next time. Do you understand what I mean? We've got to be humble and before God and thank him for what God has done already in our midst, okay? So we saw the powerful day that Jesus had, right? And then we saw the private dedication of prayer that he had. He went out by himself, okay? He didn't stay where he was popular. He didn't stay there and say, I'm just going to live in the moment, okay? Can you imagine after conference we said, oh, everybody, stay here. We're just going to have a party. We're just going to have a great time here. And you're all going to, it's going to be awesome. We're just going to have a great time. And I know you all love me. And you know what? Jesus didn't do that. He didn't stay and say, man, I'm popular here. I'm just going to stay because this is great. I'm living in the moment. He said no to staying. But then he said yes to going because the mission was bigger than just one moment. You know, that's not our job in our Christian life is to have these huge moments, okay? Those huge moments are great. I love conference. Sorry, I'm lying. I don't love conferences, but I actually do love conferences at the moment. Like, before that, I don't. But I love catching up with people. I love seeing the singing hearing the singing and hearing the preaching. I love all that. But that's not what God's directed us to do. That's great and all. One day we're going to go to heaven and it's going to be conference every day, right? It's the one whole day. It's going to be great, okay? We're never going to sleep. We're just going to, the marriage supper of the lamb, amen? We're going to have some venison and some hog. I don't know if there'll be hog. But it's going to be a great time. And until then, though, God wants us to keep pressing forward. If you look at verse 36, continuing on in Mark 1, it says, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. So Jesus went out, right? He went by himself and he did what? He prayed. He went out by himself and he prayed. And then... the disciples came and they found him. They said, hey, everyone's looking for you. Verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I might preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Okay, so he didn't stay where, you know, he felt comfortable. He knew there was great successes there. He went out to pray. But then next, he says, you know what, let's keep pressing on. And this is a pressing determination on Jesus' part here. We all know who Billy Graham is, right? He once finished a large crusade in Los Angeles and made national headlines. And I don't know how you feel about him, which is fine. Just for illustration's sake, it says, when reporters asked what was next, he replied simply, tomorrow I'll be in Bakersfield. He knew the mission wasn't to bask in praise, but to keep preaching Christ. You know, we're not called to stay where we're comfortable, but to go where people haven't heard. You know, I'm not against taking some rest and time off. I think our flesh needs that. I took some time off. We went and just, you know, relaxed and stuff. But when all that's all done, let's just continue on and keep moving on with the mission that God has for us, okay? So what do we do after a great day of ministry? Well, first of all, let's make sure we give God the glory. Let's make sure he gets the glory. Let's make sure it wasn't a good shepherd put on a great conference, you know? We want to say God put on a good conference. We want to say that God moved. We want to say that God did all this. You know, through God and through everything that he did, it was him. Make sure we give God the glory. Next, make sure we get alone with God. Make sure we thank him. Don't you love we're teaching and training our children. And one of the things we want to teach them is to be thankful whenever somebody does something for them. And I hope you're teaching your children that, to say thank you. And we teach our children that, but how are we when it comes to God, when God answers our prayers and when God does a great thing for us? Do we easily brush him off and say, well, that's your job, Lord, that you're supposed to. We're doing your work, God, you know, you're lucky to have us. Or do we say, Lord, you know what? Thank you for the honor and privilege to be able to serve you, and to be able to do your work. I just want to thank you for what you've done. And we've got to be careful. We've got to give God the glory. We've got to get alone with God, pray to him. And then lastly, to keep on going. There's more work to do. I wish these big moments would solve everything, right? Right, young adults? I joke with you and say that you're all perfect now. We all know that's not true. That's far from the truth. I'm not trying to put water on your fire at all. And none of us are ever cured by one conference or one decision made or whatever. It's a constant battle to keep going on for the Lord. And these battles continue on and life continues on. And each and every day there's more battles and the world continues on and the devil continues fighting for us. And we've got to just keep on going. And let me finish with this. You know, success in ministry is, it's not a finish line. It's a checkpoint. Seeing these big conferences, yes, that's great. All right, what's next? What's next? And some of you don't want to ask that question, what's next? Well, what's next is the church anniversary, by the way, which is coming in a month. But that's what's next. But, you know, these are just checkpoints. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When God uses you, don't quit. Keep pressing forward. Don't stop now. There's more to do, more to reach, and the more of Jesus to know. I love, you all know the emblem of Australia, right? What are the two animals that are on there? Okay, some of you know. A kangaroo and the emu, right? And we know why they're on our emblem, right? Our coat of arms. They're the only two land animals that can't walk backwards. And it's a great thing to kind of look at, even as a Christian. We can't walk backwards. We just got to keep pressing on and moving forward. Some of you say, well, why don't you just hop in a circle and then go backwards? But anyway, that ruins my illustration. But just keep hopping forward, amen? Keep pressing forward. There's still a work to do. Let's just keep going. The conference is done. Let's take what we got from there and live those out and live the things that we've learned. Make sure you use character to be able to enforce all those things you've learned. Write it in your book. Make decisions. Write them somewhere and try to reinforce those in your life, okay? Don't forget those. Don't be the man that looks in the mirror and realizes there's something wrong in his face and then just walks off. I think it's in the Bible there somewhere. You know, not changing a thing. We must continue pressing forward and get those things and implement them in our lives and write down and put into character what we need to do to be able to accomplish the decisions that we've made during conferences. You know, marathon running, it's common to see a runner raise their arms in celebration before crossing. Who's seen those videos where they're like celebrating, yeah, I've done it, and then out comes another person, you know, and then zooms past them. It's seen that so many times, right? You remember Steve Bradbury, you know, the... That's the funniest video. But I love seeing those. You know, they're celebrating too early before they've even crossed the finish line. And then they get passed by somebody else. You know, as Christians, I love celebrating after a great successful day or successful week. But it's not time to celebrate too early. We've got to work at it and keep going. Ministry's not over yet, okay? Let's finish strong, amen? We'll get there and we'll be either raptured up or we'll die, and then we'll eat some meat, amen, and we'll just have fun, and it's just going to be a great old time. But in the meantime, let's just keep going. Don't forget to give God the glory, get alone with God, and just keep pressing on, amen. Let's pray, and then I'll ask Brother Jewel to come up. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, just for the successes that you've given our lives. It's just sometimes, Lord, we're weak. Sometimes we do take the glory. We steal your glory. We steal the honor, and we take it for ourselves. Lord, help us to be more thankful, Lord, when things do go right and when you do work in our lives. And even when they don't, Lord, we know that you're at work still. I pray, Lord, that you would help us just, Lord, with this, perhaps the ungratefulness perhaps that we have in our hearts, Lord, towards the things that you do in our lives, Lord. We do thank you. We had a great conference, and it was because of you. We do give you all the honor and glory, Lord. You did it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for TNS and all the messages that were preached and all the great reports that we've heard of, and the young adults, Lord, just having their hearts stirred, Lord, for you, Lord. That's just such great news. But Lord, help us not to let our guard down, Lord. Help us to thank you. Help us to get alone with you. Help us to bring the character to implement the things that we've learned in the past few weeks. And May it be a habit, Lord, every week when we come to church and learn something, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make it a habit to implement these truths in our lives, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name.